Morning, everybody. My name's Carl. I'm an alcoholic. Very grateful to be here today. Very grateful to be sober. And I'd like to thank the committee for organising a wonderful convention. And I'd like to thank Dave for giving me less than 24 hours notice about doing this share. I'm very, very, very scared. I've done no preparation for this. I've done this sort of thing before, but. You know, I think one of the beautiful things about Alcoholics Anonymous and the 12-step program is that I'm actually able to stand up and say I am scared. You know, I think when I was, a drinking alcoholic, and even before I started drinking alcoholically, you know, I was totally unable to express to people exactly how I felt. You know, I internalized everything. You know, the fear I felt, the anger I felt. You know, to a certain extent, I internalised that, and I just couldn't, you know, express how I felt to people. And fear was one of those things, because, you know, I felt that, you know, I had to be tough, I had to be strong, and, you know, by admitting that I was scared of something was a sign of weakness. And as soon as I sort of showed my weakness to you, you'd reject me. And, you know, that's out of my life today. You know, I'm able to say, in situations like this, and in other situations, you know, work situations, family situations, whatever it might be, that, you know, that I'm fearful, I'm scared, and you know, and what I get from that is strength. You know, by accepting who I am, I can, you know, I can, I don't have that fear so much these days of you rejecting me. If you reject me, you know, so be it. But you know, my experience is that in most situations in my life that I won't be rejected. You know, people accept you for what they are. You know, not everybody out there is an alcoholic. You know, people are more tolerant. That's what I find. So the convention's been pretty good for me so far, and you know, I've learned a lot, and you know, the experience of people that have been around doing this sort of thing, steps 10 and 11 to a sort of greater depth than I have, you know, that their experience hopefully has rubbed off on me, and I hope other people here will go away and you know, put this program into practice. I use step 10 and 11 in my daily program, sometimes to quite an extensive degree, and other times I do rush around in my daily life, and I don't pay enough attention to steps 10 and 11. But what I'll do now is, I probably won't be able to talk for an hour, but I'll tell you a little bit about my story and you know, what it was like for me, how I got to AA, and what my life's like today. You know, but I would like to say that I'm a very, very satisfied customer of Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, I have a lot of joy and happiness in my life today, and the 12-step program undoubtedly is the foundation of that. And you know, the fellowship is fantastic. There's some great people in our fellowship. I've got some wonderful friends, you know, a unique bond that I've not found anywhere else in my life, and it's wonderful to be a part of. You know, not every alcoholic, I believe, it is like this, but looking back over my life, before I ever drank, you know, I felt different. Before I ever drank, I felt ungrounded fear. I didn't understand it as I understand it today. But I felt grandiose before I ever drank. You know, I had, you know, I suppose I had this sort of spiritual maladjustment to life long before alcohol was ever in my life. Although, you know, my parents were probably both alcoholic. Father died of things related to this illness, and my mother is in recovery today. But my older brother is completely normal. You know, he's not an alcoholic. He's comfortable in his own skin. He's well adjusted. You know, he's just a normal guy and a lovely guy. And I was completely the opposite. You know, I was driven by that fear. I was far more selfish, and these sort of things. So I kind of started drinking, really, not at a particularly early age. I started drinking at about the age of 16 with my friends, you know, experimenting with it down the rubber club, you know, binging at weekends, but nothing out of the extraordinary, really. you know, my friends were doing exactly the same sort of thing, and you know, it was good fun. You know, I really sort of enjoyed getting drunk in those early days. It gave me confidence. It took away that fear. Not that I necessarily was a you know, an introverted person. I was very sort of extrovert in social situations. You know, I love to be the centre of attention, and I love to make people laugh. And when I discovered alcohol, it made me those things 10 times over, which was great. But I soon started to experiment with other drugs, soft drugs, and always justifying what I was doing. You know, I'm different, I'm special. Drink will never, you know, take control of me. Drugs will never take control of me. Always with that in mind, because, you know, I'm different, I'm special, and that's what I, you know, honestly believed. And you know, I wasn't a stupid guy. I was, you know, reasonably intelligent. You know, I got through school with a minimum amount of effort, and came out with, you know, qualifications. I went to college, and I was thrown out for taking drugs. You know, but it was always at the back of my mind that you know, I was in control of this thing. But I think it was, you know, at that point when I got thrown out of college that I started to drink on a daily basis. You know, I got a job straight away, and as soon as I had money in my pocket, you know, I drank on a daily basis. And, you know, it might have only been 3 or 4 pints of a strong ale of a night. But, you know, I kind of thought, you know, straight away that, you know, drinking on a daily basis isn't too smart. But, you know, I'll do something about it tomorrow. And that went on for 15 years. You know, tomorrow I would not drink. You know, this isn't quite right. This isn't quite smart. I'll do something about it tomorrow. You know, that insanity was already starting to take over my life. But even in those early days of drinking, I had a certain amount of power of control over it. You know, I had a certain amount of power of choice. You know, there were situations where I knew I couldn't start drinking. Because if I started drinking at lunchtime, I'd have to drink all day. You know, I recognised that. I recognised that possibly I was physically different. I didn't understand it as the physical allergy to alcohol until I came to Alcoholics Anonymous. But I knew if I wanted to get stuff done in the day, that I couldn't drink in the day. You know, because if I started drinking, I would end up drinking all day. So I had a certain amount of power of choice in those days. So I like what it says in the big book, that it says, you know, many of us, when we were young enough, probably could have stopped. And, you know, I suppose if I could have foreseen what how my life was going to end up, you know, I may have been able to stop in those early days. But I didn't have enough reason to. I didn't have enough desire to. You know, alcohol was working for me. It was hitting the mark. You know, it was enabling me. It was, you know, it was good stuff. But, you know, alcoholism is a progressive illness. You know, I can see that today. The frequency I drank increased, the quantities I took increased, the trouble I got into all increased. You know, it got worse and worse and worse. There were periods in my drinking career where I seemingly got some sort of control over it, but, you know, that inevitably was followed by a worse binge, more trouble, you know, more isolation, more drinking, basically. You know, and that's how it was for me. And, you know, it's absolutely horrendous. You know, the physical and mental suffering that I used to go through when I drank was just horrendous. You know, the monotony of it was just wearing me down. But, you know, I was very ambitious. You know, at work I got promotion, I studied and got qualifications. You know, I was at the gym 3 times a week. I was rugby training 2x a week. You know, I was the fittest guy at the rugby club. You know, doing all these incredible things, but still drinking on a daily basis. You know, still binging at weekends. My life, you know, essentially going down the plug hole. You know, when you're in it, you just can't see it. You know, I had incredible willpower in certain areas of my life, you know, for going to the gym, for the rugby training, for studying, for going to work, you know, getting promoted. You know, they didn't promote me purely on my ambition. You know, I was promoted on what I could do at work, you know. You know, and I'm grateful for those things today. But when it came to alcohol, I had absolutely no control whatsoever. You know, there's a possibility that there was an invisible line that I crossed at some point. I really don't know. But, you know, alcohol was my master, you know, and I don't know when that was. It may have been when I first started drinking. I really don't know. And it doesn't really matter to me today, you know. There was a certain point in my life when when the drink took over. I don't need to know the reasons why that is, you know, and there aren't any reasons. From what I understand from the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, I do not need a reason to drink. You know, I may have programmed myself over that period of time. I really don't know. It doesn't matter. What I understand today is that I have a mental compulsion which is beyond my control. You know, a mental compulsion which I tried for years and years to control. I think, you know, early on in my drinking, I recognised it was a problem for me. I recognised that I was different to other people. I was different from my friends down the rugby club who were, you know, heavy drinkers. You know, they could drink 15 pints after a match and get into trouble. You know, they could get arrested by the police. They could, you know, get earache from the girlfriend. But they were heavy drinkers. They weren't alcoholic drinkers like me. You know, I recognised that I was different from them. I was a stage or a step ahead of them in drinking. They had, you know, control over their drinking, which I didn't. But that sort of abnormality, which I recognised, you know, soon became normal to me. You know, I knew when I went out, I'd get drunk. I didn't like that fact, and I always tried to exert my power over that, but I always failed. You know, that physical allergy and mental obsession combined left me, you know, completely powerless. You know, I had no control over it. I had no choice over it. Of course, you know, I knew nothing of this until I came to AA. You know, took the guidance of a sponsor and worked the 12 steps. I knew none of this. You know, this has come about from the work I've done in Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, work on myself and working with others. And you know, it's a pretty cool way of life. You know, I'm very, very happy today. You know, my life isn't perfect, and that's usually when I screw up. You know, when I exert my will, that's when things seem to go awry and I do suffer. But you know, at the end of my drinking, I was desperate. I'd tried all the control drinking routes via government agencies, you know, seeing psychiatrists, going to the doctor, and I honestly believe these people had my best interests at heart, but they didn't have the experience and knowledge of what we have in Alcoholics Anonymous, which is something quite powerful. That they could only treat me on different levels, and what we, you know, what we have in Alcoholics Anonymous is treating people physically, mentally, and spiritually, and that's I believe for me is the only answer. When I went to try and control my drinking via these agencies, and even tried total abstinence, I ended up in more trouble than I'd ever been in my whole life. You know. During the period of trying to control my drinking, I lost my driving license twice. I was suspended from work, and which, you know, eventually sacked. I lost all my friends. You know, they stopped inviting me out, and even my girlfriend finished with me. And you know, let's be honest here. Whilst I wasn't completely being honest, I was making, you know, positive steps to do something about my drinking. And I utterly failed in those attempts, and that was, you know, I'm grateful for that today, because, you know, I have no doubt in my mind that I can control my drinking. You know, at the end of this period of trying to control my drinking via a 12-step treatment centre, I was introduced to Alcoholics Anonymous, and I absolutely hated it. You know, I can remember going to my first meeting in South Manchester, and looking around the room and truly believing that you know, this was quite possibly the worst thing that ever happened to me in my life. People were talking about God, people were talking about the drinking stories, and I just wasn't interested. I was in the treatment centre to keep me out of prison for my third drink driving offence, as far as I was concerned. and I really had a bad attitude. And, you know, I went to one of the most expensive treatment centres in the country, and I actually drank in there. You know, and the insanity of it for me was the thought that I was actually choosing to drink. You know, the insanity of it was that I was smart and that I was actually choosing to drink. And that is the insanity of alcoholism, you know. And I came out of the treatment centre and in a worse state than I walked in, actually. You know, physically I may have been slightly better because I'd managed a few days off the drink. But mentally I was worse off. You know, I'd looked at the steps and had a go at them and did them completely dishonestly. There was no way I was revealing myself to anybody. You know, there was no way I was going to be honest about the things that I'd been up to. I had a completely closed mind, and I was willing to put absolutely no action in. You know, I'd go to meetings, and I'd turn up as late as possible and leave as early as I could. I wasn't prepared to do any. I wasn't prepared to make the tea because I was too important for that. You know, washing up was for, you know, you plebs out there. And that's really how I was at that, you know, after 4 weeks in a very, very expensive treatment centre. But I'm honestly very, very grateful to that treatment centre today, because it did introduce me to Alcoholics Anonymous, and it did introduce me to the Big Book and the 12-step programme. They used they didn't use the Big Book in the treatment centre, they used a book by Terence Gorski, which is a guide to the 12 steps. And that was kind of helpful, but what I found in AA is the Big Book, and I passionately believe in what the book has done for me and what the book has done for other people that I've sponsored. For the next 5 months, I came down to London from Manchester, and I went to lots of meetings in the Dartford area. You know, just going to meetings, sitting there, not knowing what I was doing there really. I didn't want to drink. I knew that drink was destroying my life, but I didn't know what I was doing in AA. You know, I'm not saying that I was ready for the message then, but I didn't hear a clear-cut message. You know, what I got from the treatment centre is that you need a sponsor, and you need to work the 12 steps, and you need a home group, and you need, you know, you need to get honest. And you know, I'd like to thank that treatment centre for that. You know, from my very, very early days, that was imprinted on my mind, that it was the 12 steps via a sponsor. You know, honestly putting the work in that was going to give me, not cure me for my condition, but give me relief from my condition, and maybe, you know, enable me to stop drinking. But I must say that I was confused when I went to the meetings. You know, I didn't hear a great deal of people talking about sponsorship. I didn't hear a great deal of people talking about the 12 steps and recovery. What I heard was a lot of stories about drinking, and you know, it was quite, you know, that confused me further. You know, what am I doing here listening to people talking about the drinking? You know, I didn't hear a message of how people were getting better. You know, I got that from the treatment centre, I believe, but I didn't hear a great deal of messages in the meetings, really. So for 5 months in AA, I continued drinking. I'd stay sober for 2 weeks. I'd stay sober for 3 weeks or 3 minutes. You know, I could walk out of a meeting and get drunk, and still in that insane place of thinking that I could control it, thinking that I was choosing to drink, and not understanding what the hell was going on. And so for 5 months in AA, I got progressively worse. And I'm grateful for that today, because it got me to a point of desperation. You know, it got me to a point of you know, I'm clearly not doing what's suggested. I'm clearly not doing what is required of me, and just turning up at meetings wasn't good enough for me. You know, I understand that today. And I do remember meeting somebody in a meeting who eventually became my sponsor, and I can remember talking to him on the phone, saying, I'm going to meetings, but I keep getting drunk. And, you know, he suggested to me what was a novel idea at the time. You know, he said, have you tried praying? And I'd heard people talking about God and this sort of thing. And, you know, I was far too intelligent for God. I was far too cool, too smart, too young. You know, all these excuses, which were my core values. My core values were exactly those attitudes, that I was too sophisticated for God. But through desperation, you know, after a member of Alcoholics Anonymous suggesting to me that I tried praying, you know, through absolute desperation after another horrendous binge, that's exactly what I did. I got on my knees and I said my first prayer, my first honest prayer, through absolute desperation, and that was the 29th of August 2001, and I've not drank since that day. After that prayer, I went back into the treatment centre for a couple of weeks, and my attitude was completely different. I was going to basically do exactly what they told me to do. You know, I was no longer going to analyse stuff. I was no longer going to be critical of people. I was no longer going to sort of be the naughty boy at the back of the classroom, which I always was, you know, texting in the middle of meetings and texting and during the group work at the treatment centre. You know, I was desperate not to drink again. On the 29th of August 2001, you know, the sort of three or four things that went through my mind in that moment of desperation was that I need to do something different. I need to be completely and rigorously honest with people. I need to pray, and you know, I don't want to drink, but I know I will. I think that was, you know, those words rang out clear in my head, that I don't want to drink, but I know I will. So, you know, that sort of spurred me on to go back to AA, go back to this treatment centre, and just throw my lot in. You know, I came back down to London. I asked this person to sponsor me, and the rest has been an incredible journey. You know, it really, really has. You know, I'm over 5 years sober today, and it's been the best 5 years of my life. It really, really has. You know, I worked through the 12 steps with my sponsor. Probably did the first 9 steps in about 9 months. You know, my sponsor is a very, very different person today. I think he was learning at the time. I put my faith in that person, and we grew together, you know. And it's wonderful that he's still a step ahead, you know, many, many steps ahead of me in that respect. He still gives me guidance and still gives me, you know, great ideas on what I should be doing in my life, because, you know, parts of my life I still run on self-will. You know, I do get things wrong, but it's okay to be wrong. You know, I can hold my hand up today. I can be honest today. The 12-step program has been an incredible experience for me, very, very deep and powerful. You know, I was a hopeless alcoholic when I walked into AA. I could not stop drinking. My life was a mess. You know, I was completely isolated from the people I loved and the activities that I enjoyed in life. You know, I wasn't a stay-at-home drunk. You know, I enjoyed living my life, but alcohol just took that all away from me. I just could not do it anymore. You know, I can remember trying to go for a walk on Boxing Day in the Peak District, which I love to do. You know, absolutely shaking from the night before and vomiting all over the place. You know, it was horrendous trying to live that life. And today I can do those things without that. You know, I can enjoy the things in my life. You know, and I've put a lot of effort into my recovery. I'm not saying that to boast, you know. It was out of sheer desperation I started to work this thing, but it's given me a cool life. You know, it's given me a lot of joy in my life. It's given me love in my life, which I just couldn't comprehend when I was drinking. You know, to give and receive love is an incredible thing, and to stand up here and say that is an incredible thing, really, for me, because, you know, I just couldn't express it. The 12-step program has been an empowering experience for me. You know, I have the power of choice in my life today. I have the power of God in my life today. You know, my higher power. I have the power to help people today. You know, it baffles me when I hear people in meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous saying I'm powerless over people, places and things. You know, I am far from powerless. You know, the 12-step program has enriched my life and empowered me. You know, I can go anywhere in this world today as a free man. You know, I am far from powerless. You know, the last 5 years of my life have just been the coolest. You know, I've made lots of mistakes, but I've progressed. You know, I'm really glad that I'm not a year sober anymore. You know, my first year was good, but you know, there was lots of fear still about there. There was more fear probably keeping me sober than faith in those days. You know, I understand today that it's my faith that keeps me, you know, my faith with works that keeps me sober today. You know, I have two home groups. I have service at those groups. I do service at intergroup. You know, I have a daily program. You know, I start my day off most days on my knees, you know, praying for a sober day. You know, I just use the Serenity Prayer. I use part of the Step 3 prayer. I use part of the Step 7 prayer to hand my will and my life over to my higher power to keep me sober for that day. And I always ask that I'm kept sober to help another person. You know, I'm lucky, I suppose, that I've never really prayed for selfish things. I don't know why that is. I just never have. You know, because I'm a very selfish person. But I've always prayed to be kept sober so I'm able to help another person. I generally speak to another alcoholic every day. I do a gratitude list of 10 things that I'm grateful for every day. You know, I'm a naturally ungrateful person, a naturally selfish, ungrateful alcoholic who thinks this life owes him a living. You know, and that I don't have to work very, very hard to enjoy those things. So that gratitude list has given me gratitude today. You know, I'm 5 years grateful today because I've been doing a gratitude list for 5 years. You know, it's just as simple as that. You know, I read AA literature every day. I have stuff emailed to me, and you know, I pick the book up. I go through the book with sponsees. You know, I've been through the book a few times with my sponsor, and you know, it all adds up to a pretty good life. You know, not a perfect life, but a free life. The sort of things that I enjoy in my life today is my work. You know, I'm bright-eyed and bushy-tailed on a Monday morning. And at the end of my drinking, I could not go into work on a Monday. I could not go into work on a Tuesday. You know, it was just horrendous. And today I can do those things, enjoy them. I enjoy a social life inside AA and outside of AA. You know, I have great friends inside and outside the fellowship. You know, relationships repaired through the 12-step program. Just incredible today. You know, an example of that is my best friend and his wife, who I made direct amends to through this program, making, you know, who when I was drinking told me I wasn't invited to their wedding. Today I'm godfather to their daughter. You know, and that just blew me away when they asked me. You know, just blew me away when they asked me. And you know, because I didn't think that those things were part of my life. You know, the end of my drinking, I just did not, you know, I didn't trust people. I didn't think people trusted me. You know, I just didn't think people wanted me around anymore. I had that craving that they would, but I just kind of knew that it would never happen in my life. So, you know, through this 12-step program, those things are good in my life today. This Boxing Day, I've got my, in recovery, I bought a house, and on Boxing Day, I've got my brother, his wife, and my two nieces and my mother coming round to my house. You know, that is another thing which is just blows me away. You know, I was so full of resentment and fear for my brother. You know, he's my elder brother, so there, of course, a sibling rivalry there, but I had deep resentment for him. And he'd never done me any harm. You know, I was just full of fear and that sense of duty towards him, and that, you know, envy for him being well adjusted and comfortable in his own skin when I wasn't, you know. So, you know, I've got these things to look forward in my life today. But always at the centre of my life is Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, at the centre of my life is the 12 steps. it comes before my family, it comes before my work, it comes before my social life, because I have found, and my experience is, that if I put Alcoholics Anonymous at the centre of my life, that everything else just seems to fit in, and it fits in very, very nicely. And I kind of don't know how that works, really, or maybe I do know how that works. It works because I stay sober and I lead a better life than the life I was leading. I lead a better life than the life I was leading when I was drinking. And steps 10 and 11 are a part of my daily program. And I've done, you know, I've gone through periods of doing written step 10s from just a pro forma sheet which my sponsor gave me. You know, I always pray every day. And meditation for me has been, you know, it's been a good experience. I'm still quite ill-disciplined in that area. You know, I'd rather go to the gym than sit and meditate. But I do believe that going to the gym is kind of a period of meditation for me. And the exercise is good for me anyway, you know, and I won't stop doing that. I have been to a Buddhist meditation class. And that's been a great experience, you know, when I've been disciplined enough to go along on a weekly basis with sponsees or guys that I know in the fellowship. You know, it's been a cool experience. Buddhist meditation is very similar to my experiences of it, is that it's very, very similar to our program. It's about getting rid of selfishness. And the message is clear from Buddhism that, you know, our message of selfishness, self-centeredness, that is the root of all our troubles. They have very, very similar sayings in Buddhism. And, you know, it's good. And whilst I've been meditating, I have found, you know, enhanced my peace of mind. I have seen a clear, pure white light when I've meditated. What's that all about? I really, really don't know. But you know, these sort of experiences are incredible for me today. I've also seen the burning flames of hell when I've meditated, but I don't know why. But it didn't faze me, you know. It didn't give me that fear that I've always suffered from, you know, because, you know, my fear is manageable today. My resentments are manageable today through the faith that I've acquired by working this program, through you know, just a beautiful way of life that AA has given me. The last 5 years of my life have just been so cool. You know, I've done some incredible things. You know, I was in New York this August with my sponsor and some other guys in AA, and had a wonderful time. You know, it was very hot out there. I was full of resentment. But, you know, sometimes I find it difficult to live in the moment, but I can look back at those experiences sometimes and think, you know, that was so cool. You know, what an honour to be able to do those things. You know, I go on holidays and enjoy myself. I, you know, I pack a lot of stuff into my life today. And it's all thanks to this fellowship, you know. I am so grateful for what AA has done for me. In the first 5 months that I was in AA, and I was still drinking, I hadn't got a clue. And the only thing that I could share was that I was grateful, because I heard other people say that. But I was not grateful in the slightest. I didn't feel it, I didn't understand it, I just said it because that's what I heard other people saying in AA. You know, I just didn't understand it or experience it. My message to anybody in AA, you know, new, struggling, however long you've been around, you know, this 12-step program really, really works. You know, the experience of my sponsor that's passed his experience on to me, the people that I've worked with, sponsors that I've worked with, have also had deep and powerful experiences. And, you know, that's not because we're special people, I believe. You know, I believe that this program in recovery is available to anybody. You know, give it a go. You know, that fear that kept me trapped, that fear that kept me sort of locked into this illness, that I couldn't, you know, tell you the truth about my drinking or anything else that was going on in my life, you know, difficult that I can't help you there, because, you know, it's only you that can let go of that and give yourselves completely to this program. You know, I read a lot of sort of stuff on the internet, and I see a lot of anti-AA websites, and you know, I take on board some of the sort of criticisms of AA, because I believe as a fellowship, you know, as a whole, we're letting down lots and lots of people by not talking about this 12-step program. We're letting people down by not talking about the incredible experience you can have from getting honest and working this program and helping other people. You know, the highlight of my life today is working with others. You know, to see other people get sober and get well blows me away. And I no doubt it's those deep experiences that I feel when I'm working with a newcomer that keep me sober today. You know, my job's great, you know, but it doesn't keep me sober. My social life is great. My family life is great, but it doesn't keep me sober. You know, what keeps me sober is passing my experience on to another alcoholic, you know, working intensively with him to enable him to find the same experience that I've had. You know, I believe that this experience is available to anybody. You know, you can have this thing. You know, you get honest with an open mind, put the action, and you too can stay sober and enjoy a good life. You know, I've worked with people with you know, real, you know, severe mental illnesses, and I've seen them recover in front of me. You know, not recover from the mental illness, but recover from their alcoholism and get on with their lives. You know, I'm very lucky and grateful that, you know, I've got good things in my life. But I've also, you know, I've also been dealt blows in my recovery. My first 6 months in AA, I was made redundant from work. You know, my girlfriend finished with me, and my mother was very, very ill and ended up in AA, of course. You know, these were this was drinking stuff for me. This is stuff that I drank on. And what confused me at the time was that I didn't even have to think about not drinking. And you know, I was terrified about picking up the next drink. But you know, I was working the program, you know, very, very slowly in these early days. But you know, I was doing my best and working with what I knew, and you know, that enabled to keep me sober. And other things have happened in my life. You know, buying my house gave me a lot of fear, but I got through with it because of working this program, I believe. You know, I had to retire from rugby because of a, you know, serious hip complaint. You know, I've got to have a hip replacement. And I felt incredibly low when I found out about that. And the thought of a drink did cross my mind. But the compulsion, you know, that compulsion to drink was kept at bay, I believe, because of the work I put in on a daily basis. You know, it's just as simple as that. You know, I accept that I'll never play rugby again, which is, you know, it's very sad because, you know, in recovery, I played rugby for the first time in my life with a clear mind. You know, I wasn't as fit as I was, but I played better rugby because I wasn't wading through treacle anymore, you know. So, you know, I have a lot of joy and happiness in my life today. You know, I still make mistakes. I still need to sit down and do some inventory and make some amends. I know I need to do that. And I'm looking forward to doing that with my sponsor. And, you know, I'm looking forward to continue to carry this message to anybody out there, you know, the newcomer, the suffering alcoholic, whoever it may be. I don't know how long I've been talking for, but I think I've just about come to an end. I'd like to thank everybody for listening to me. If you're ever in between Birmingham and Manchester, my home group is Newcastle Tuesday, Newcastle Underline Tuesday. We do steps 1, 2 and 3, and Sunday we do a step and tradition meeting. 1 week we do a step, the next week we do a tradition. We've also started a speaker meeting in the Potteries, which is once a month. Please look us up. We're every last Thursday of the month. We just have 2 speakers up, no discussion, just 2 speakers. And you know, it's a pretty cool place to be. I'd like to thank you all again for listening to me, and God bless you all. Thank you.